Northwest Arkansas has a rich history with famous outlaws like Jesse James and Bonnie and Clyde, but not all of the stories about the law in this region have to do with famous criminals. Benton County Crime Stories is an exhibition at the Rogers Historical Museum, which explores the history of law and order in Benton County from the 1830s to the 1990s. John Burroughs, the assistant director of the museum, helped design the exhibit, which is the recipient of the 2011 Arkansas Museums Association Exhibit of the Year Award for an exhibition produced in-house.
We wanted to try something with new technology, the digital technology, interactive elements, computer interactives. We wanted to be able to present a deeper level of information to our visitors, and that's what helped define the longer time period on this, because we were able to do it as opposed to how we generally do traditional text panels. It's very limited in what we can present in terms of text and pictures. And the especially like the touchscreen interactive, the wanted poster interactive, it's fun for kids, but it also presents a great depth of information, talks about actual crimes that happened in this area during the 1890s. The whole idea, I think, it came about. I've always been interested in this subject. I've always been in public service, and I've always been interested in law enforcement and what those folks do for the community, and I wanted to take a look at the history of it in this area.
A centerpiece of the exhibit is a pair of old jail cells, which have been in the museum's collection for some time, but has only recently been restored.
One of our museum commissioners stored it on behalf of the museum for 30 years. We didn't have the facilities and or the equipment or the expertise to really restore them, bring them back on display for a few years, and he was generous enough to store them for us, and that's just part of their long journey. That was in 1979 that he took them on behalf of the museum and stored them. The city of Rogers actually purchased these jail cells in 1894, and they've been in two different city halls. They were in our very first city hall, which was on First Street, north of Walnut. And then when we built the new city hall in 1930, they cut them apart and took them to the new city hall and rewelded them, and there they sat for the next few decades. And when the police department renovated its facilities in 1979, they decided to do something different for the holding cells, and they decided to get rid of them. So I've talked to several officers who actually helped with that, and the police and fire department, every Public Works, everybody was involved in taking them out in 79, and it was quite a production from the pictures I saw on it. Holes needed to be knocked in the walls, and they flatbed trailers and all sorts of heavy equipment. And one of the police officers actually smashed his thumb and had to be rushed to the hospital. And it's had a long and colorful history, I think.
The jail cells remained in an overgrown field for about three decades, where vines and trees grew between the bars. Burroughs estimates it took more than 700 hours worth of work to restore the cells. The assistant director explains it was important to preserve the metal, and removing the rust required wire brushes and elbow grease. The cells also had to be made safe for visitors, because not only can they touch the approximately 7-foot-tall cells, they can walk inside of them if they ask a staff member to unlock the door.
Yeah, I've had a couple of kids. I'll put them in, and they always like to hear the door shut, and that kind of great little clank. We actually restored it maybe too well. It had this wonderful grinding, kind of moaning when you shut the door, and we cleaned it too well. Some of the metal preservative got down in the hinges and took that squeak out of the door. So all we have left is the clank.
Once inside, it's a tight fit. There's hardly any room to turn around in the space between a pair of bunk beds hanging on the interior wall and the metal bars that comprise the exterior wall. On the back of the door, a sign tells visitors that while it was free to land in jail, it will cost them $5 to get out. It's just a joke, but Burroughs says some children have been concerned about their insufficient funds once they've been closed in their new prison. Speaking of funds, it only cost the museum about $5,600 to produce the exhibit, and that includes the cost of restoring the jail cells. Next to these cells, there is another interactive feature Burroughs refers to as the listening station. Here, guests can listen to more than a dozen news stories from the 1890s to 1930s, as read by local actress Kay Cotton.
Came fellow instigators of the gag. County tax collector Reed Adcock inquired just what his purpose was. Austin gave them the dope on what he was looking for. "Aren't you sitting in the car that answers that description, Sheriff?" asked Adcock. Speechless and flabbergasted, it dawned on the sheriff that he had been given the license number and description of his own automobile. Predictions made yesterday indicate more will come of this pending the sheriff's complete recovery.
I like that because it spans a huge time period, and it also spans, you know, the tragic to the ridiculous, just like today. And I think when you look at this exhibit, you really see that people are not much different in any time period. They're doing the same things, they're getting into the same kinds of mischief, the same kinds of crime. So I think that helps tie, you know, the present to the past a little bit, because people just aren't that different ever, I don't think. So just like this, you know, this is just ridiculous. And we wanted to have a few lighthearted things in it because it spans, you know, just brutal murders, just tragic cases of death. And then, you know, I like having a few things like that. That's those things still happen today. That's always been interesting to me.
The title of another section is 3710, which is the name of an emergency frequency. A panel hanging on the wall lists 10 code phrases and their meanings. 10-4, for example, is code for message received. Burroughs says 10 code has basically gone out of use, but museum officials gathered information from an officer at the Rogers Police Department about what the local 10 code used to be. Burroughs and other staff members then recorded conversations using 10 code over walkie-talkies, and museum guests can now listen to the recordings and interpret them using the code listed on the text panel.
Go ahead.
This section also features a red bubblegum light, which was used on top of a police car in the 1960s that you can turn on, as well as the sound of a siren. Burroughs recorded a 1960s siren that the Rogers PD donated to the museum. In addition to the interactive stations, the exhibit also features traditional text panels and a collection of historical objects, which includes an old still, a bulletproof vest, and a collection of badges through the decades. With so many different aspects, Burroughs says the exhibit should appeal to a variety of museum guests.
You can tell that when you look at this exhibit, it's presented a little bit differently than our other exhibits that we've done in the past. The text panels, you know, went with a large kind of image format to really emphasize something interesting that we found, or an image that really illustrates that particular theme for the panel. All of the photographs that we would normally put on a panel, you know, there's probably about 10 times the number of photographs that we'd normally be able to include on a panel. And by doing that and using this larger format, we're also able to put more information in the narrative that we're talking about on the panels. So I think it can appeal to a lot of different types of learners, people who like to read. Well, we have that. If you just like to browse at pictures, we have that. If you like hands-on things, we have that.
Benton County Crime Stories is on view now through 2013 at the Rogers Historical Museum. The museum is open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and admission is free. More information is available at rogersarkansas.com/museum.